Hi, this is Jesse Eisenberg. You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and on the web at WBAI.org.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All. It's been 22 months since we were on live radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find a little bit more about what we're going to talk about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, and you can look around up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen, and at the top of it, it will say latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. And if you should ever find that there's something wrong with the archives, you should write to me, rpm@glib.com, rpm@glib.com, and let me know, and I'll see if we can do something about a messed up archive. This is our 73rd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program. This is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And, of course, our top story, as always, is... we are holding at 119 followers on Twitter, and the entire world is reporting this big news item. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be held this coming Wednesday, January 12, 2022, at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We're supposed to elect WBAI's directors to the Pacifica National Board at that meeting, and we'll see what else comes up at it. The WBAI local station board met this past Tuesday night in executive session, quote, to discuss personnel matters of a confidential nature, unquote. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 302,076,852 on Friday, and global deaths reached 5,478,004. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 59,098,496, and the death toll in America had reached 835,994. So, 10,683 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death rate is back up again as compared to last week's program, and back up by more than 1,000. So, even though the Omicron variant is supposed to be less deadly, it's spreading like mad, and the death rate is up. More than 10,000 people have died in America in the past week of COVID-19. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And again, this was all mostly preventable. Dr. Anthony Fauci said the new year is showing the Omicron variant causing a, quote, vertical spike, unquote, in COVID-19 cases. He also said, quote, what we are hoping is you reach a peak and the cases come down rather quickly, unquote. This is what seems to have happened in South Africa. Of course, as has been pointed out, South Africa has a generally younger population than the United States of America. That could be an important factor. The big danger of the Omicron variant is that it's in a lot more people all of a sudden, and that makes it more likely to mutate into something worse than the Omicron variant. If something as infectious as the Omicron variant were to suddenly become more deadly than the Omicron variant, maybe as deadly as the Delta, well, we could certainly see some bad stuff happening because... there are so many breakthrough cases with Omicron, and it just is really going through the world. A conspiracy nut and podcaster named Doug Kuzma, who aggressively opposed vaccines, has died of COVID-19 after attending a so-called super spreader conference, which was officially called the Reawaken America Rally in Dallas. Other morons attending this disease-promoting event were Alex Jones, Eric Trump, and Michael Flynn. Days later, Kuzma was sick. He said that his chronic bronchitis was acting up. When someone suggested that he get tested for COVID-19, Kuzma said, quote, "You must have lost your mind so they can kill me and try to give me the jab," unquote. I don't know if that would be the order in which things would happen. Kuzma then said, quote, "I'll die at the house before I go to the hospital," unquote. Well, he was found unconscious at that house on December 24th, and he was rushed to a hospital where he was put on a ventilator and died days later. This character did his podcast out of something called Frog News. F-Frog, F-R-O-G, stands for Fully Rely on God. One of his pals at FROG said his final photo showed him with a, quote, "refill of ivermectin," unquote. The frog crowd has been spreading disinformation about COVID-19, and they also maintain that Trump won the 2020 election. Kuzma wasn't the only attendee at the Dallas rally to get sick. Some of the others have claimed that they were attacked with a biological weapon. These people are so delusional. So, Mayor de Blasio had his Times Square New Year's celebration with a limit of only 15,000 people who were all to have been vaccinated and were supposed to all wear masks. Pickles and I saw a tiny bit of that event on TV, and we didn't see all that many people wearing masks, did we, my dear?
Including the police officers at the event.
Yeah. The ones who got on TV were just about all maskless. I don't know if it's at all possible to figure out how many people caught COVID-19 from that event, but I will not be surprised if some people did catch it there. Well, you know, we were pitching in December saying, yeah, we were going to have to go and pitch to the end of December in order to get the emergency tower fund done. And the tower fund, it refers to the tower rent, which is where we broadcast from. We broadcast from 4 Times Square, where we have a transmitter and we connect to their antenna. And on the air, on broadcast, that's how you hear us. And, of course, we have to pay rent. It's more complicated than that, but we have to pay rent at 4 Times Square. And we're having a problem. We have, with the pitching, caught up enough. We are actually, the general manager reports that we are about a little bit in arrears to 4 Times Square, but only for January so far. Yeah, we had a problem there. And so, but we did pay up the arrears we had. We were in arrears with our rent, and there was a possibility that they would shut us down if we didn't pay up. So we've paid that up, but the general manager would really like us to be able to get a year's worth of money socked away so that we don't run into this kind of problem anymore. So what we're doing is we're pitching. We're pitching the old-fashioned way. We're not just asking for BAI buddies, although if you want to become a BAI buddy, you may, but we're asking you to get up and go to your phone and dial 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to make a donation to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book for the Emergency Tower Rent Fund. And that's what we're doing right here. We're asking you to get up and go to your phone and call them up. You'll be calling a call center at 212-209-2950, and they will pick up, and you will just tell them what you want to do, and they will handle that. And so we want to thank our friend Seth, who has donated. He called in and he's donated, and so he's helping BAI to stay on the air and helping Back of the Book, this radio program, to stay on WBAI. So you can also join Seth and some other folks who have called 1-212-209-2950, and you can say, hey, I want to pledge some amount of money in the name of Back of the Book and keep BAI on the air. So 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call right now. And, you know, we do all sorts of things on this radio program, and we do what science things we can cram in here. And so we're asking you to please support WBAI and support this radio program. And if you do that, we may all still be here a year from now. Who knows? But and I hope by a year from now we're not having to still do this on pre-recorded. 1-212-209-2950. And BAI provides all sorts of different programming that you're certainly not going to hear anywhere else. You're sure as hell not going to hear this program anywhere else. 1-212-209-2950. And you can call them up. You're not calling us up. You're calling them up at that number. And the call center will pick up and you'll tell them what you want to donate. $25 will get you a regular one-year subscription to BAI, and you'll be able to vote in the election that's going to happen this year at Pacifica, and you'll be a voter at that point, and that will be good. But if you want to basically pledge $10 or $15 or $20, that will be acceptable. They'll take that. And, of course, if you want to basically donate more, that's allowed. 1-212-209-2950. And if you pledge to that thing, you will help us to show up as having listeners, because this is part of how the overnights are basically rated. We do get Arbitron, what's now Nielsen ratings. Nielsen bought Arbitron, and it's now Nielsen ratings, but they don't cover midnight to 6. So here we are, folks, showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're not going to be able to, you know, basically find out what our ratings are. So management has to use how much money we raise. So if we get a bunch of callers to 1-212-209-2950, you will be able to say, hey, I showed that I listened to Back of the Book on WBAI. 1-212-209-2950. We need to hear from a few of you right now. It'd really be helpful if we could hear from some people calling in and saying, yeah, I want to support Back of the Book and keep it on WBAI and keep WBAI on the air. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. Again, 1-212-209-2950. We'd really appreciate it if we could get a few people calling us up and saying that they've called in a pledge. Also, you could write to me, rpm@glib.com, rpm@glib.com, and say, yeah, I pledged, and tell us, you don't have to tell us how much, if you want to, you may, but say, yeah, I pledged to your program, and that will help us out here. Unfortunately, we have a hard time thanking you for calling 1-212-209-2950, because we're not live. We're not in the studio. And it used to be when we were in the studio, there was a setup and we could see who had pledged in not quite real time. We were a few minutes behind. And gee whiz, we can't do that now. So we were able to thank Seth, because he wrote to us and said he had done so. He said he was going to do so beforehand, so we know about Seth. But others of you, yeah, we can't just do it as easily as we used to. 1-212-209-2950. Please, we hope you've called that number right now. And this is not our sole pitch. The interim program director insists that we do a pair of pitches during each program. And this is our first pitch. So please call 1-212-209-2950. Thank you. So our last program came to you from the past. Well, maybe they all come to you from the past. But our last program came to you from 2021. And it came from the previous year by a number of hours, which is how all these programs go. But we were in 2021, and you heard us in 2022. Now we're caught up to some degree. And now you're hearing us in 2022. It's 2022 where we are now. Whoopee! Oh, boy. What a new year. Ah, so various things have been happening. The Polar Bear Club had their usual New Year's Day plunge into the water at Coney Island on January 1st. This is a charitable event that they do, and they go splashing around in the cold water at Coney Island. And this year, one guy had what's being described as a cardiac episode. So we hope he recovers from all of that. I think he was having a little problem. I don't think he had a heart attack. I don't think. But they took him away in an ambulance anyway. Yeah, it's quite a shock to suddenly jump into cold water. And in Scandinavian countries, they do it. But I bet you they have people having cardiac episodes too sometimes because it can be quite a shock. And in Scandinavia, the water is really 32 degrees Fahrenheit. I bet you the water at Coney Island was warmer than that. It was just cold, and oh boy, you know, if you go in and you turn the cold water on in a shower, you get some idea of the unpleasantness of cold water. But that water is much warmer than 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Anyway. In other things happening with the new year, they have, of course, all these TV events and, you know, New Year's Rockin' Eve and stuff like that, even though Dick Clark, how many years ago did Dick Clark die? I don't remember, but it's been quite a few years, and he wasn't rocking towards the end anyway, and so the broadcasts all happen, and they're on there, and one guy was on there denouncing Mayor de Blasio, which was, you know, I don't mind that. He was on CNN blasting away at de Blasio. While he was doing that, CNN had a crawl across the bottom of the screen. And the crawl is that thing where you'll see text going across the bottom of the screen. And CNN got trolled. Yeah, their New Year's Eve broadcast got trolled by people on Twitter. Actually, it might have been just one real Twitter user using several different accounts. And they sent greetings from names like Ben Dover and Seymour Butts and a bunch of other more creative names. That I'm not sure I can say those on the radio. I know Bend Over and Seymour Butts we can say because Bart Simpson has used those on TV. So yeah, we can. Those are safe to say on the radio. And this stuff just always happens. If you open things up, you get this. And I remember once Johnny Carson. This is a very long time ago. Johnny Carson. He used to collect cars, put out cars, and people would ask questions. And I remember he got a Bend Over once, long ago, and he was aware of it. And that one just slipped through. And real comics tended to recognize that sort of thing faster than news people and some others do, which is an interesting comment. Because the comics say, oh, this is obviously some guy, yeah, Bend Over, sure, right, it's an old joke. They know the old jokes, whereas a lot of news people don't understand it. So CNN was putting these things in there, and some of them were pretty amusing. And again, I'm not sure we could say them, but I'm not going to say them because we don't want our license lifted for something like that. And then there's this buoy-shaped tourist attraction at the southernmost tip of Key West, Florida. It marks the farthest south you can go on the continental United States. According to the Key West Police Department, at around 3 a.m. on New Year's Day, some guys who had been taking photographs of themselves next to the buoy and next to a discarded Christmas tree set the tree on fire and burned the fake buoy. Now, I think the fake buoy is made out of concrete. It's 12 feet high, but it's painted. It's all paint, and the paint really got burned up. So, yeah, the police are looking for these guys. Maybe they'll catch them. Maybe they won't. I think this is something that's just repairable by washing it down and repainting it. But there you go. I mean, my impression is it's made of concrete. Maybe it's made of steel or something. It didn't burn, but it has all the carbon from the Christmas tree on it. Meanwhile, in New York City, two guys got into a fist fight at West 34th Street and 8th Avenue, just several blocks south of the big New Year's celebration with everybody wearing masks, except they weren't. And they were down there, and at about half past midnight, one guy stabbed the other because they were having a fist fight, and somebody decided he wasn't doing well enough, so he knifed the other guy. And that was the year's first stabbing in New York City. Around 8 hours later, at about 8:30-something at night, a woman was stabbed to death in Queens and became New York City's first reported homicide of 2022. So, wowee, things are really cooking here in the new year. This is the new year, very similar to the old year. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And we're recording this on Friday, of course, and we've had our first big snowstorm of the year. What did we get? We get like 5 inches or some damn thing? I don't know.
I think we got about 5 inches, and a lot of it has melted already.
Yeah, it's going to go away. And so, you know, like some years ago, we had the record snowstorm, and it was the biggest snowstorm New York City ever had. And the next day it all melted because it was in the 50s the next day.
Yep.
And, yep, the climate is changing, all right. We're getting to watch it change. Not always the most pleasant thing to have happen. But we didn't have a big snowstorm this time, a lousy 5 inches. That's certainly not much to Pickles of the North, because up north they have much more snow. In fact, they have more snow than this in the summertime, you know. Anyway, so Pickles of the North is going to talk to us about a famous snowstorm that New York City had quite a while ago.
Yes, it was quite a while ago, R. Paul, but it was very famous for being very bad. And also, the technology did not exist for people to safely weather such a snowstorm. And we're talking about the Great White Hurricane of 1888. That's what it ended up being called by a lot of people. This information comes from Weather and Illustrated History by Andrew Refkin and Lisa McKaylee, which is a really wonderful book. Get it out of the library if you can. And this short chapter is about the Great White Hurricane. On the afternoon of March 11th, 1888, a light snow began to fall over the northeastern United States. By the following morning, there were 18 inches of snow on the ground. But that was just the beginning. By midnight, 33 inches of snow had accumulated, and still it fell. When the storm that would end up being called the Great White Hurricane swept past Nova Scotia on March 14th, some 40 to 50 inches of snow paralyzed parts of Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York. Some 200 ships went down from the Chesapeake Bay to Maine. While the storm was known by many as the Great White Hurricane, it was in fact a blizzard, a term first used to describe a snowstorm in the 1870s. The U.S. National Weather Service defines a blizzard as a storm with a large amount of snow and or winds over 35 miles per hour, with visibility of less than a quarter of a mile, lasting for more than 3 hours. Blizzard conditions tend to develop on the northwest side of a storm when low pressure at the center and the higher pressure to the west intensify the circulation. Strengthening winds can pick up and blow snow around, creating whiteouts and significant snowdrifts. In 1888, the gale force winds produced drifts of snow of more than 50 feet in metropolitan areas like New York City. The storm would help convince city officials to build a subway system. The city of Albany, New York, was shut down, and with no coal deliveries possible, thousands of residents were left without heat. Doctors couldn't make house calls because country roads were impassable. In the end, more than 400 people died in the blizzard of 1888, half of them in New York City, making it the worst death toll from a winter storm in U.S. history. And the thing is, usually more people die these days from heat waves. I mean, hundreds of people. Last summer in British Columbia, hundreds of people have died in that extreme heat wave. And, of course, we've had extreme. Hundreds of people die in Chicago in past heat waves. In France, tens of thousands of people died.
Especially old people dying there.
And these big storms, we are getting fewer and fewer of them because of climate change. It's interesting to note that the big storm that your mom and dad took you out into when you were just a little infant in 1947, 77 people died from that winter storm too. And the snow stayed on the ground from the end of December into March with that storm. So we hope all of you are safe from the storm and the quite cold weather that's happening today, and that you're comfy and cozy at home, or if you're working, you have a nice hot beverage to drink. And I guess we can enjoy what's left of the snow.
I suppose, unless you're a driver or something.
Well, at this point, I think a lot of it will have turned to ice, unfortunately, because the temperatures are quite cold. So, but yes, it is interesting to note weather and weather changes.
Yeah, it's also interesting the role technology plays. I mean, we could think, it was a bad blizzard they had there. Yeah. Well, understand that for the most part, there wasn't electricity in every place. And telephones were brand new, so not everybody had a telephone. It wasn't the common thing. And also, if you had a telephone, in some places, a building would have a payphone in it or something like that. Or there was a telephone at a store downstairs. But the stores were closed because people couldn't get there and everything was shut down. And, of course, there was no internet.
Well, a 50-foot snowdrift, there's no negotiating that. You know, and of course, today, snow, whatever amount, is not allowed to accumulate that in that way.
Yeah. They didn't have trucks with snow plows in the front of them. Like, they didn't have big, heavy garbage trucks that with snow plows that could push any amount of snow in front of them. They had horses. Snow plows consisted of horses moving things. And so, yeah, they could not clear stuff a lot well. They could clear it, but it usually consisted of a bunch of men with shovels and the occasional horse-drawn one, which was a complicated deal to have horses doing it because, you know, the horses have to negotiate their way through it. And if it's too high, the horses can't do it, and you just have to get a bunch of guys with shovels out there. And we know that that isn't quite so efficient.
Oh, boy. Right now I'm having a vision, a flashback to my grandmother in her, I guess she must have been in her 70s, wearing her snowshoes. Oh, boy. And she'd be up on top of those drifts. I mean, she was raised in the country, out in the Laurentian, the oldest mountain chain in the world, I think, or one of the oldest. And she knew how to walk on snow. So she'd be trudging along, and we're still struggling to put our snowshoes on. It's like, oh, Grandma, wait. You hurry up now. Oh, boy. Now I'm getting a vision of her saying, why are you being such a stupid ass? Because we couldn't put the snowshoes on, just for other things. We do goofy things, and we try her patience sometimes. But
yeah, my grandfather... I think both my grandfathers were either babies or little kids for the winter, for the blizzard of 88.
Ah.
So they were in it, but they weren't aware of it or anything, just as I wasn't aware of the what had been the largest snowfall until, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And my parents putting me on a new sled that they'd gotten me for Christmas. You know, I was infant. I didn't know it was that. So they bundled me up, put me on the sled, and they brought me up to Prospect Park because we were living on 9th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue in Brooklyn in those days. And they put me on the sled, and they dragged me up there, and they were having a good time, you know, pulling me on the sled through the giant amount of snow in Prospect Park. And then a cop came along and said, what are you doing with that kid on the sled? Get out of here. Go home. Get that kid home. And, you know, yelling at them, saying, oh, yeah. So they left and all of that. But yes, they remembered it for the rest of their lives.
They were just enthusiastic new parents.
Yeah.
And it was a new experience for them and for the little baby.
Yeah.
The little infant.
And they were just in their 20s.
Yes.
So they were young people. Yes. And so that was an experience I had there. And then there were other snowfalls in the 50s, I remember. One really big one in the 50s, I remember. Oh, man, we were building, you know, forts all over the street and everything, and we would get snowballs, and as the B-67 7th Avenue bus would go by, we'd throw snowballs at it, and as trucks would come by, we'd throw them at the trucks, but we threw them at the we didn't throw them at the cab, we threw the snowballs at the boxy portion, and that was the thing to do. If you threw it at the cab, the truck driver is liable to come out and try to beat the crap out of you. So we would just throw them at the stuff. And we avoided mostly throwing them at cars because that would get a guy to come out after you. But the bus isn't going to stop, you know. And, of course, I guess the bus driver told everybody, keep the windows closed, people. And the truck drivers, you know, they've got a big box in back of them, and it's made out of metal, so it doesn't do anything. But yeah, I remember that that time. And other times, we had more times. I remember one time on Carroll Street. I think this might have been in the 60s. There was another big snowstorm, and on Carroll Street, the kids got together and said, "Let's build a fort," but it was going to be a real fort. And so they piled up all the snow, and the thing was about 3 feet high, maybe 4 feet high. And what they did, some of them got boiling water from the houses, and they would bring out a kettle of boiling water and pour it on top and then throw more snow on that so that the boiling water melted some ice, and then it all turned into some of the snow, and then it all turned into solid ice, and it had layers of this plus snow on top of it. And the kids were making these things across the these barricades across streets all the time. So the sanitation guys just enjoyed the hell out of plowing those things out of existence. And they came down Carroll Street this one time, and they go up into a fast speed, and they're expecting this thing to just explode in front of them, and it's great fun for them. And they hit it, and it stops the truck. The truck goes boink up a bit and down, and, you know, it did wreck the thing, but it stopped the truck. And they were not pleased. And then they backed up and smacked it a couple of more times and destroyed their way through it. But, oh, man, that was an interesting day, too. Snowstorm follies of our youth. And in some amusing and good news to me, right-wing Congress critter Marjorie Taylor Greene, representative of Georgia, has had her personal Twitter account permanently banned over, quote, repeated violations, unquote, of Twitter's COVID-19 misinformation policy. Aha. Well, she deserves it. They keep on doing this stuff, and then they say, oh, and it's, you know, attacking our freedom of speech, which they don't even understand what that is. But yes, I'm glad that she got her personal Twitter account shut down for spreading all this disinformation that these idiots keep doing. Okay, now 10. Joe Biden really gave it to Trump on Thursday, and Trump had canceled his big press conference for that day, which is good. Biden never mentioned Trump by name, kept referring to a former president or the former president, and that's how he referred to him over and over again, although Trump apparently, unable to pay attention well, kept thinking he was naming him. What a schmuck. And so, yeah, and referred to it as, this is all about his ego. And this is true. This is about his poor, wounded ego. Creep. And so he really gave it to him. And I'm glad he did that. And meanwhile, Senator Ted Cruz whined an apology on the right-wing Tucker Carlson show. He apologized for having called the January 6th, 2021 insurrectionists, quote, terrorists, unquote. I mean, Cruz really wants to run for president in 2024, and he really seems to be in fear of getting Trump's core pissed off at him. So, yeah, let's have somebody that cowardly as president. That'll work out. Meanwhile, the right wing is continuing the lie that the January 6th insurrectionists were just peaceful protesters. Yeah, peaceful protests where people die. What I find quite interesting is that leftoids, and I consider leftoids to be people who adhere to a left-wing ideology and rhetoric without regard for what they're actually saying or what reality is, The leftoids have almost the same position on this. I'm seeing in various mailing lists, I'm seeing various of these people saying almost the same thing as the right wing, that, oh, this was just a protest. It wasn't a real thing. It wasn't, oh, you shouldn't say insurrection because it wasn't that. It was just people protesting, which is ridiculous. This comes from what I think is the looping effect of politics. I think politics seems to be circular, and far right and far left politics frequently wrap around and blend at their extremes. So you have the far right wing and the far left wing sometimes saying the same damn thing. So this is another example of that. And really, it was an insurrection. It was a threat to democracy. They were trying to prevent Trump from being removed from office. They were, besides the fact that there were these idiots going there with their Hang Mike Pence stuff and their attempt to prevent the certification or the counting, really, of the ballots from the Electoral College. You also had attempts to make it so that the count wasn't approved, and the plot was to send it back to legislatures, which would then, since they're Republican-dominated, they would turn it around, which would be really quite the thing. And some people are saying, oh, the insurrection was a military attempt to overthrow the government. Well, I don't see evidence of that. I don't think so. But some people have to say stuff like that.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Okay, here's our mandatory second pitching shift of this radio program. And we're asking you to help keep WBAI on the air by calling 1-212-209-2950. This is in aid of WBAI's Emergency Tower Fund pitch. Yes, we were in arrears, and we were about to be 3 months in arrears in our rent for the tower at 4 Times Square. And it appears they could have taken us off. It turns out, actually, the general manager said he hasn't seen the contract, which seems odd to me. Somebody should show the general manager the contract so he knows exactly what's happening. But he's under the impression that if we had hit 3 months in arrears, they would have turned a switch and taken us off the air. And you know, you don't want to find out whether he's right or wrong by going to 3 months. So I don't know. Somebody in Pacifica must know what our arrangement, what our contract is with 4 Times Square. Anyway, so what's happening is the general manager really wants to get a pile of money to pay for the transmitter rental, the tower rental, as it's called, and he wants to get that for maybe a year's worth. That's a lot of money. In any event, we're trying to raise that. And it's not impossible, but we're getting there. We've raised a bunch of the money already. We're not in arrears anymore. Well, actually, we may still be in arrears today, but it's not because we don't have the dough. It's because the general manager hasn't paid it yet. The dough exists, and we're not in any danger of being taken off the air. But we have to pitch and ask you to pledge some amount of money to pay the tower rent. And you do that by calling 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. And what you do is you tell them, you'll be hitting a call center. You'll call the call center, and they will answer the phone, and you'll say, I want to make a donation for the Emergency Tower Rent Fund in the name of Back of the Book. And that will tell them what radio program this is, and they will write it down, I gather. And you'll be able to make your pledge, and it's a certain amount of money, whatever you decide to do. $25 is a regular one-year subscription, and if you would prefer to do a bit less, you can do $10 or $15 or $20. If you would prefer to do more to really help us out, you can do that too. We'll take any amount of money. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call, and that's what we really need to hear from some people about. 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we talk about all sorts of topics. We're not getting to the science stuff really here today. I think next program we're going to try and do more science stuff again. But, you know, it's a new year. Some things have happened and we want to talk about them. And, oh boy, it's good to talk about some of this stuff. 1-212-209-2950. And if you do that, you can keep WBAI on the air. And you'll have a good chance of keeping back of the book on WBAI because management looks and sees who raises money. 1-212-209-2950. And if you don't raise money, yeah, management's going to be more inclined to say, yeah, let's see if we can put something else in that time slot that will raise money. 1-212-209-2950 is a number to call. Also, for the overnights between midnight and 6 a.m., these programs we don't get done on the Arbitrons. Of course, using old terminology, it used to be the Arbitrons. It's been the Nielsens for some years now. But, hey, you know, I'm liable to remember, you know, watching cartoons on TV or something. I don't know, in a black and white TV. But, hey, I'm old and I remember old things. So, the Nielsens. The Nielsens do not cover these overnight programs, so management could only really tell if there are listeners to these programs by seeing what money we raise. And if a bunch of callers call the call center at 1-212-209-2950 and pledge, management will be able to see that. That'll be proof that we have listeners. So, please call the number 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to pledge a certain amount of money to help BAI with its transmitter issues, its tower rent issues. And, you know, we do things on this program that you're not going to hear elsewhere. We don't buy into the idea of, oh, yes, let's all be respectful because somebody believes in some superstitious being that controls everything. We are not the folks who will go and say, oh, yes, these guys do podcasts on something called Fully Rely on God and think that that's a rational thing. Well, no, we're willing to say that's irrational, that's nuts. And we're also willing to talk about reality in terms of, yeah, there's this big disease out there and we have to be careful because it's so infectious right now. It's getting most people, I think. And so we talk about that. And we'll also talk about leftoids who really aren't they aren't so helpful for progressive stuff, at least in my opinion. And, you know, you're trying to get things to happen, trying to resist the right-wing crazies, and then you got the left-wing crazies who then can heap discredit upon things and also give the right-wing ammunition and say, see what they're trying to do, you know. Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. Please, could you give us a call at that number now? 1-212-209-2950. It would be very helpful if you would do that, and thank you. Freedom of the press is a damned important thing, and freedom of the press is under attack in New York State. 50 years ago, the Nixon administration attempted to block the New York Times and the Washington Post from publishing the Pentagon Papers, which were classified Defense Department documents detailing the history of the Vietnam War, according to the administration at the time. And the Supreme Court sided with those newspapers, writing, "Without an informed and free press, there cannot be an enlightened people," unquote. Justice Potter Stewart wrote that in a concurring opinion. Well, now State Supreme Court Justice Charles D. Wood has issued an order blocking the New York Times from publishing or even reporting further on information it had obtained related to Project Veritas, the right-wing group that uses hidden cameras and fake identities to go after politicians, news outlets, and interest groups that oppose the right wing in America. Justice Wood wrote that the Times' decision to publish excerpts from memos written by Project Veritas's lawyers, quote, cries out for court intervention to protect the integrity of the judicial process, unquote. The Times is going to appeal this ruling. The litigation is part of a libel suit Project Veritas filed against the New York Times in 2020 for its articles on a video the group produced about what it claimed was rampant voter fraud in Minnesota. The New York Times reported that the video was, quote, probably part of a coordinated disinformation effort, unquote, citing an analysis by researchers at Stanford University and the University of Washington. If this judge's ruling were to be upheld by the current right-wing-dominated Supreme Court, news organizations, according to the New York Times, quote, could be routinely blocked from reporting information about a person or company simply because the subject of that reporting decided the information might one day be used in litigation. More alarming is the prospect that reporters could be barred from even asking questions of sources, lest someone say something that turns out to be privileged, unquote. This is bad stuff, and this Justice Charles D. Wood, he really seems to be an enemy of the First Amendment. And that traitor, Donald Trump, has endorsed right-wing creep Viktor Orban for re-election as Prime Minister of Hungary. He gave his, quote, complete support and endorsement, unquote, to Orban, who has instigated crackdowns on immigrants, has attacked LGBT plus infinity people, and gone after journalists whom he found to be unsupportive of him, all stuff Trump likes to do. Trump has previously endorsed right-wing leaders like Jair Bolsonaro of Brazil and Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. I don't recall other former United States presidents endorsing foreign politicians for election. Is Trump the first one to do that? Certainly the first one I'm noticing doing that. Meanwhile, Trump's brats have been subpoenaed to testify in Trump's fraud trial in New York. So, oh boy, that's going to start heating up because they're due to start dealing with those subpoenas kind of soon. Ah, there we go. We got to go now. Okay, we'll be back here next week, and it won't be as snowy, I don't think. And we'll be talking about things that we're planning to bring some science topics in here next week. And coming up is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
And as I say, we'll be back here next week. Take care of yourselves. Wrap up. Stay warm if you can. And above all, remember what that hoping freedom of the press doesn't get destroyed by the right wing Dormouse said.
In your head and dead on your feet, well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul, and it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that
massive and expensive equipment marks the professional radio station. But in the amateur field, radio parts often include pieces of assorted junk, ingeniously assembled by operators, and lots of strange radio parts, such as whiskey glasses mounted on a cake tin. Ma's funnel actually becomes a loudspeaker, and her sieve, part of a microphone. Winding a coil becomes comparatively simple when using the family egg beater. All amateurs are heroes of the air at heart and dream of a chance to serve humanity whenever a calamity occurs. And speaking of calamities, well...
Hey there, all our beloved radio listeners. Yes, we're in a bit of a calamity right now, with an urgent need here at WBAI to pay our radio tower back rent or cease to broadcast. And here at this radio station, we'd like to continue to serve humanity, but without having to resort to those egg beaters and cake tins in an emergency. So please donate whatever you can by calling in to 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Or visiting the Donate to Our Tower Fund at the top of the BAI website page. And Arts Express thanks you.